Good morning, Abdi. Lovely to be here this morning. It's a privilege, and it's an honour to be in the house of the Lord in the Lord's Day morning. Can you hear me all right? My voice is over here, so I just hope it'll last suit. I'm going to read Psalm 122. It was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Wonderful to come. We're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I need not prayer, I knew, more than ever before. Surrounded on our sides, it's looking fairly positive at the moment, but how long would it again? The intermissions for the coming week in the will of the Lord, Knit and Nut are tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pilates, three sessions, dear me, I would demand one. Three sessions. Tuesday night, 6 to 7. Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30. And Saturday morning, 9:30. Wow. Shoebox appeal. All my and I are setting out the donations of items for shoeboxes. If anyone would like to help and perhaps don't want to make up their own boxes, money donations would be welcome to buy exactly what we need to complete the boxes. Please either give to Alma or Anne or put an anonymous donation in an envelope marked shoebox in the collection if you prefer. The prayer meeting will restart in 3 weeks' time on Wednesday 29/10/25 at 7:30 p.m. after the October holidays, and that's in the upper room. Wonderful. Wish I'd been in the upper room for the spirit came down. Wow, what an experience that must have been. We're going to open the meeting singing hymn, climb any number. Doesn't matter. John, get it up.
Thank you.
lovely hymn. We believe what we've been singing. I believe Jesus saves. And so he does. He does through his Spirit. Let's just bow our heads and commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this privilege that we have this Lord's Day morning of coming into your presence, coming into your house, Lord, to glorify and praise your holy name. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that all things will be said and done, will be done in accordance with your will and in your will. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are gathered together, and we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we may be blessed in your presence. Let us feel the very dear, near presence of the Holy Spirit this morning as we open your word and meditate upon it. We thank you for the privilege we have of opening your word. We thank you we have no fear of man at the moment at this time, yet we see in the news and on internet and one thing or another of the persecution that is going on around the world. Christians being taken away from homes and families, being persecuted and jailed and killed for their faith. And we just wonder, Heavenly Father, how quick and how long it will be before we are maybe in that same position. Oh Lord, we just pray for all other gatherings such as this, where the gods of your word will be opened, the word will be preached. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that your word will not return to your void, but it shall accomplish that for which you've sent it. And we believe out of our heart, Father, your word is precious, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Father, we just pray again for those that would have loved to be here this morning, but through various circumstances of life, they're just unadmonished. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that through this time, you will draw very close to them. We thank you, Father, that when the Lord went home to be with you back up into glory, he left a paraclete, the Spirit, the one who comes alongside, the Comforter. And we thank you that he's beside us every moment of every day if we are redeemed and born again through the precious blood of our Savior. So, Father, thank you again for this opportunity. Pray that you bless every head bowed in your presence. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and worthy name, and for his sake, amen. Amen. We're going to come to the table just shortly, and we're going to sing the first two verses, "Oh, there is a fountain filled with blood." I'm going to read a few verses for Matthew's Gospel. And it's concerning the crucifixion of the Lord. It says, "And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spat upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiments on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Now there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' this is to say, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, 'This man calleth for Elias.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" We've come to this table of the Lord this morning. It's lovely to be the privilege that we have to do this. It's a wonderful privilege as believers to come to the Lord's table to remember his death until he comes. Matthew, I'm just going to do four quick points. Sadness and sorrow. The Lord was going up into Jerusalem, and as he looked down upon that mighty city at that time, he could say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou art killed by the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee, thy children together, even as a mother hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." That's in Matthew 26, 37, 38. Luke 19:41 says, "And when he, Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it." Sorrow and sadness. We see the Lord in the garden in their submission. "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, 'Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he to them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.' And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, 'What, could ye not watch with me for 1 hour?' He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again three times and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saying unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he that is at hand that doeth betray me. Submission in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read of Calvary, as we just said. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, this is a sacrifice now. Within the sadness, the submission, and this is a sacrifice. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. And sitting down, they watched him there. That's a really sad picture, isn't it? Sitting down, they watched him there. Sacrifice of the Lord in Calvary and the satisfaction as he gets. Psalm 17 and 15 says, As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's a future glory for us as believers this morning. We shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. John, 1 John 3 and 2 says, Behold, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 tells us, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, and it hasn't entered into the hearts of men and women the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. As a condition. We'll sing the last two verses of the hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood." Just bow our heads for a second. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege of being here. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that this time you've told us in your word, even today, remember and pray for the peace of Israel. Your chosen people, Father, yet they've turned their back in you so often, but you still love them. You are still, they are still your chosen people. From way back in Exodus, as you took them out of Egypt, right until this present day, you have been looking down upon them and praying and asking that they would turn to you, the Messiah, the Lord God, the Almighty One. And so, Father, we pray for Israel at this time in Jerusalem, and we just ask that you'll take your blood-bought people there and protect them and keep them. We see there's things afoot that's maybe going to help. We pray that it will be, that there will be peace in Israel. But we doubt it sometimes, Father, in our own minds and hearts, so much heartache and destruction going on. We just ask, Lord, that you will look after your people. We thank you for the blood-bought people among the Jews, among the Gentiles. And we just ask that you will keep them safe, Father. Keep them in your love. Keep them in your care. And we pray for the world in general, Father, what a mess it's in. The world that you created, the world that you looked down upon, it could say it is good. Father, what a state it's in. And we pray for our world leaders at this time. You raise up principalities and powers, Father, but we realize that we're not fighting against that. We're fighting against demons and satanic things. And these things abound much more in the days that we're living in. But we just pray for the world leaders. You will raise up men and women that will take a stand for your word, that will stand up and be counted as believers in the Lord Jesus. And we just pray for our own government here in Scotland and in Parliament. Lord, we realize that they're making decisions that are contrary to your word. Things that are going through that we have no input into, and yet they're going through and changing the laws, and we turn and turning our back on you. Pray for the land of Scotland, Father. We've wandered far, far away from you. Used to be known as the land of the book, but Father, we realize that the days are growing short, that the Son of Man, your Son, our Savior, will be coming back. You are the only one who cares the time of the day, but we should be ready, watching and waiting. for that great adorning of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back for his own blood-bought people. So, Father, just hear our prayers this morning, and we would be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory as we lay our pleas and petitions before you, silently and audibly. We would ask, Father, that you'll answer them in accordance with your will and in your will in the days that lie ahead. Thank you, Lord, again for this privilege. For we ask it in your name, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Alma's got a common dear Bible reading to us. It's in John chapter 15, if you want to look it up, the first 16 verses.
The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your love and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen.
Thank you. Let's just bow our heads a second. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I just ask at this time that you'll take the sacred pages and illuminate them in front of me, Father. Bring all things to my remembrance. And we ask it your name and the name of your Son will be glorified in this place this morning. We ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. The Lord has laid this in my heart today. I think I spoke on it some way, 2 or 3 years back. And in 2024, I spoke here and been in the flock, and maybe when I'm in, maybe well. In 2004, I spoke again of being in Christ. And then I spoke in prayer. All very important things, really important things. This morning has been laid in my heart to speak on in the vine and what it means for a believer to be in the vine. We, you and me, as believers, are in the vine for fruitfulness. Not just on the vine as if a bunch of grapes has just been chucked on and tied on, but in the vine, actually in the vine, as the branches that fruit grows naturally out of. The placing in the vine, immediately upon our believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are incorporated or grafted into him. A believer becomes a branch of or in the vine. Think of the intimate union or conversion with Christ. In Corinthians 5 and 17, it's a very intimate union right enough. Therefore, if any man, or woman, be in Christ, she is a new creator, new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We get into the flock in Psalm 23, my shepherd. In the book, we come to Revelation 21 and 27. And they shall in no wise enter into anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's you and I this morning. Our names are recorded. It's recorded in that book, never to be blotted out, never to be erased. Once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. The flowing sap. The sap must be flowing through the branch. If it is, we ought to remain healthy. That is the figure here of the pulsating life of Christ, the warm, strong life of the Spirit within us. Without the free and full movement of which the branch must assuredly waste away, weakening of mental and moral power. Full movement means we must have the blood, the life blood in our veins and be filled with the Spirit. Leviticus 17 and 1 tells us that the life is in the blood, and it's only through the blood that there will be remission for sin. It's through the blood that we are cleansed, redeemed, born again, and made righteous in the holy sight of God. We're children of God. It also tells us we're children of wrath. And we were. Ephesians tells us that. The state we were in. Ephesians 2 tells us the state that we were in our sinful ways. And yet, but God is looked upon us and he said, you that were once afar off have been brought nigh by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've taken that bread and the wine just now in remembrance of that sacrifice he made on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 5 and 15 to 21, he is to have the full, complete access to every part of our being, through every vein of our personality. That is what the fullness of the Spirit means. Not that we have more of him, although that is good, but that he has more of us. It's lovely to get into God's word, but it's even better to get God's word into us. Wonderful, the privilege that we have. He's also have free movement with nothing to hinder his going in and through us. I speak of free movement because it's all too sadly for us to hinder his going in and through us. And all too many Christians, myself included, there's a hold up of spiritual experience and blessing. And so often it's quite a little thing that causes the trouble. Some little matter of disobedience in the behavior, some little bit of compromise with the world, some little lack of watchfulness, some little failure in love, little things that we say, but so large in effect. And I'll just put this in. If we hold up a little sixpence to our eye, we can blow to it the whole sun. What little sixpence? Look at it, and we would lose the heat, we would lose the light, we would lose so much. It shuts out the light of the mighty sun. A little bit of grit or stone in our shoe can hurt the foot and hamper our walk. So a little bit of inconsistency can dam up the streaming life-giving sap that God plans should flow freely through us as branches, so that we may be fruit-bearing branches in the vine. The withered branch. This is no true branch, but just an imitation. If it had been real, the sap would be flowing throughout it. Romans 8 and 9 tells us, if any man, woman, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, I've read it already, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man or woman the thing which God hath preferred for those that love him. Romans 26 and 28, it tells you of a good imitation. Maybe it was very good. The person concerned was a detached member of his church, an upright, decent, loving man, habitual in his use of the means of grace. Yes, a very good imitation of a Christian, but an imitation for all that. And we could see that with some of the churches in the Brough here. One of the ministers there held up two books, Harry Potter and God's Word. And he said, they're both the same. Both the same, a fable. What a thing to say about God's Word. What a thing to say. But we are to be good imitations. Yes, a very good imitation, a Christian, but an imitation for all that. Look at John 2:19-27. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Such is the withered branch of John 15:6. There was an outward connection, but no inward union. Now, I'm going to read 20 verses to you in Matthew. Just bear with me. I love to read God's Word. And it's what we're here for, to open God's Word and get it right. And I'm just getting to stage now with my memories. Nothing like fit it used to be. Nothing like fit it used to be. After writing half of things doing now. But I suppose that's just fit with the control. It says in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Therefore, whosoever heareth the words of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's a promise. Liken unto a wise man. An outward appearance, but no connection, no inward union. The withered branch. The continuing life. Acts 2:41-42. This is the blessed experience of a real Christian, the true branch of the something like about 3,000 people that were converted on the day of Pentecost. It is said that it continued, and that is the purpose of God for all his own. It is all in the abiding. And if we would know what is the evidence of our standing in him, we may find the clue in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, or more clearly in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Abiding is obeying, and obeying is abiding. Abiding. The pruning of the branch. This is a sore bit. Sometimes it can be. What a lot the Master said about it in the vine. The vine chapter of John. This is the knife. The knife. It may be a cutting edge of conviction. In verse 3, our Lord says, now ye are clean through the word. Through the word. That's why the word is so precious. That's why the word is so needful. We are cleansed through the word. This is not cleansing by washing, but by pruning. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How often have we been stabbed to pay attention and awaken to some hindrance in our Christian life by the word of God? It is not a comfortable process, but a necessary process that he is able to cut out. The cutting edge of circumstances. Romans 8:28, leads us to expect this, that God does use circumstances in our lives. We've all gone through things that we didn't want to go through, and sometimes we would question it, why? Why me, Lord? And then we would need to say, well, why not, Lord? And we all go through at times different circumstances in our life. Romans 8 leads us to expect this, that God uses circumstances in our lives to do the pruning in our hearts and lives. Some loss comes to us, some deep sorrow, some severe illness or constant pain, some grieving, misunderstandings. These cut like a knife. And at the time, we cannot see the wider plan of God in our lives. But someday, all this will be revealed. John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Paul's prison letters, we will used mightily by God. The rose tree, bush, needs pruning to cut away the dead wood, branches, and encourage new growth. That's a pruning. It can be sore. It can be necessary. But we can, if it's a father's hand that's doing the pruning, he will not see his children begging bread. He will not put you beyond and above what we can accept or stand or put up with. And we have a loving Heavenly Father, and these things are sometimes necessary in our lives. That's the pruning. The purpose. There must be some purpose, some reason for God allowing the knife to suffer, of knife of suffering to operate in our lives. Nothing happens by chance in a Christian's life. So we conclude that the purpose of the pruning is found in John 15, verse 2, in that every branch, us, will bear fruit and more fruit. Verse 5 says, much fruit. Verse 8 says, bear much fruit. And verse 16 says, lasting fruit, a fruit that shall remain. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. We can read that when you get here. I'm minding, cutting from a bed and down a Duff Road as a family. I was cutting a hedge, and it wasn't much of a hedge. And I started to cut a dune. And I can't remember, Kenny Morris, Denny's nephew, he could be doing around for you. Come up, fit your dune, Abby. Oh, so I'm cutting back my hedge. Well, he said, cut it back. I said, I have. No, cut it back. And he took a second tars and started to cut. And before I count for us, that was hardly a branch or a stick left. It was just a stump. And I said, dear me, Kenny, fit your dune, you've killed it. And well, the next summer, wow, what a growth there was in that. What a growth came out of that hedge. And the roses, the Norman was saying in Windsor about pruning his vine. And I think needs pruning and cut back to get rid of the dead wood, if that's the right terminology. And we are no different for that. We are children of the living God. And to get to the fruit and be able to produce fruit, we need to be cut back sometimes. Not all the time. That we need to be cut back sometimes. In a Christian's life, there's seasons. A lot of seasons. And I mean summer Christian, summer, spring and winter and whatever. I mean, there's a season that we go through. Sometimes it's a long season. Sometimes it's a fair season that keeps going. And we think we'll never get back with it. But God has his hand upon us. Brother and sister, we have a wonderful God. We have a wonderful God. The purpose, bear much fruit. The hand, my father is the husbandman. So it should make it all the easier to endure the pruning when you know the one that is doing it. It is a loving father's hand that will not cause his children a needless tear. It is an intensively careful hand that never makes a mistake. And it is a skillful hand that gets the most from his pruning. The surgeon, you see, has to wound in order to heal. The surgeon, and we rely on them to do it the half the day and to do it right. The producing of the fruit, the reason of our place in the vine, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. Luke 13 and 7 says, I come seeking fruit and find so little of it. The Lord was going down the pathway, and he saw, as it were, a fig tree, green, lovely and green, that when he reached it, it was just leaf. It was only leaves. There was no fruit. And sometimes we as Christians, we go through barren times, and the fruit doesn't grow in our lives, and we kind of produce the fruit, but it's lovely again that our Heavenly Father is in control of all these things. Matthew 11 and 13 says, no fruit. Profession, but no possession. In Corinthians 3, 5, 6, and 7, God giveth the increase. I'm going to read that to you, and I'm going to hurry up. The time's nearly gone. I'm going to read this to you, if I can pick it up quick. First Corinthians 3, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom we believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gives the increase. It's out of our hands, friends. We've got nothing really to do with it. We can only be faithful to God's word and do what we can. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Wonderful to ken that we have a Heavenly Father that looks after us. The fruit of service. A number of the different kinds of fruit. The fruit of service, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, God's word, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a difference from Mark 11 and 3, nothing but leaves. Bringing his sheaves fruit. May the latter be our portion in abundant measures. The fruit of character. The world is looking on. What do they see in us? Do they see the Lord Jesus sometimes in us? Wonderful to think that they do. We have to mirror the Saviour. We have to be like him. We have to try and do our best as a girl's act. The fruit of character. The world is looking on. What do they see in us? The fruits of prayer, John 15 and 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 16 adds, your fruit should remain, that whatsoever we shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to us, to equip us and fill us with his fruits. And with this I'm going to close. Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Wonderful. I just ask myself, if I got all these fruits, am I going the right way? If I can find Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that ye which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, lovely little word again, but, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, lest let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Wonderful. So much in that. I've just touched a wee bit here. You see, he's going to deal with that and fill us and turn us into fruitful boughs. Fruitful. The boughs on it and the branches on the vine, they will be drooping with the weight of the fruits that you and I can bring in. Wonderful you can to bring a soul to the Saviour. Wonderful the privilege it is to point someone in the way of salvation. It's a wonderful privilege. So that we can be fruit bearers in fruitful boughs and branches. And we can say, equip us, fill us with his fruits, so that we can be fruitful boughs and branches. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we just ask that you'll use it, Father. We can, where we stand before you, born again, redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But there's a human side to us, Father. There's an earthly side. And we just ask that your fruit may grow and grow through us and grow in us, that we may be fruit bearers in the days that lie ahead. You've told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we thank you, Father, you've promised that, lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the ages. So, Father, thank you again for your word as we close this meeting. Thank you in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn to finish off with, "To God Be the Glory."
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this privilege of being in your house. Thank you for the privilege of opening your word. And we just ask that you'll part us with your richest blessing. Go with us where we would go and abide with us where we abide, until that great day dawns and all the shadows flee away, and our Lord and Saviour comes back for his own blood-bought people, and then forevermore with the Lord. All God's people said, Amen.